Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight I'm bringing you someone special tonight. You know, this is election 2012 and the road to election and the road to success for positive people to represent us is on the agenda. Tonight, my guest is Anthony W. Williams. Anthony W. Williams is a write-in candidate for Congress. He's a write-in candidate for the 2nd Congressional District. I want to see if Anthony Williams, which we lovingly call, and he has the title of Reverend Anthony Williams. Reverend Anthony Williams, are you live on the line with us?
Yes, Ms. Forte.
Yeah, well, hey, welcome to In the Know with Mo. We have a lot of listeners, about 20 listeners, who are also on the line with us, and per request, they are just on the line to listen to the conversation here. And so I want to welcome you to In the Know with Mo. We're on for the next 28 minutes. But you know what? I was going over your site, and I want to read my listening audience something. It's a message. This is a message from the candidate's wife. It states, "My husband, Anthony W. Williams, has been an activist for over 25 years. He is not afraid to stand up to corruption. He helps those in need and never judges how large or small the challenge might be, because if it's important to those who reach out for his assistance, it is important enough for Anthony to look into. Most importantly, if he does not have the answer, he will find someone who does." So I'm telling you, this is from the mouth of his wife. And normally when people run and they have spouses, it takes a team, and this is representative of a team. Welcome to In the Know.
Thank you.
Reverend, I understand you have been out all over the city of Chicago, the South Suburbs, Joliet. You have been out, and you are running as a write-in candidate. You want to expound on your position?
Well, first of all, thank you, Ms. Forte, for allowing me this opportunity to come on. This is my sixth opportunity to have an opportunity to run for the 2nd Congressional District seat, and I want the citizens to know that, that the seat belongs to the citizens. I think many times elected officials have sometimes become too complacent, thinking of this, that their particular post or elected position is theirs, but the seat belongs to the people. And
yeah.
So because of the uniqueness of what's happening, the people have an opportunity to choose who they want as their elected official for the 2nd Congressional District.
And that 2nd Congressional District has been redistricted. As my understanding, it has now picked up a little further south to Bourbonnais.
Oh, to Kankakee.
All the way to Kankakee, Bourbonnais, Kankakee, that's amazing. So the whole, it seems like to me what they're trying to do, because we have basically the overall district is predominantly African-American.
That is correct.
And so, and you know, looking over your information, your excellent website that you have in here, so many people don't understand what a write-in candidate has to do. And the biggest thing is so many people, soothsayers, you know, believe that a write-in candidate can't win. And I am proof, as I mentioned to you before we spoke the other night. I won a seat as the first black elected official in the village where I reside as a write-in candidate by 4 votes. And Peter Brown, you're not going to win. I said, please. When you have faith in God, God opens the doors.
That is absolutely correct. And William Beavers won his automatic seat first time he ran as a write-in. John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Herbert Hoover, and Lisa Murkowski, who was currently the U.S. Senator from Alaska, won in 2010 as a write-in candidate. So it is not impossible to win as a write-in. Historically, it's been done before.
Exactly, exactly. So I just wanted to just find a little stun gun. Sorry, I wouldn't be too violent. I just wanted to find a stun gun and stun the soothsayers. Because I know for a fact it's possible, because I'm still sitting in the same seat from 1996 to this day, and the people keep now, they are electing me, you know, because I have proven that I do represent the people. Just like you, I mean, I'm not a perfect servant, but I'm a public servant. And looking over your record, I have posted here on the Blog Talk a picture of you in a tent outside across the street of Oak Forest Hospital. And so many people have questioned me, what is this about? Is it about him running for office, or is it about him doing camping? I said, you have to understand what that picture is about, because no one would sit out in that cold to fight for a hospital that was serving the needs of the people but you. And that's what that picture represents.
Well, that's correct. You know, I've had the opportunity, you know, I love being a public servant. I love being an activist. And for many years, you know, as a pastor also, you know, I just feel it's important that someone, we stand up for what's right. We stand up for what we believe in. We stand up against injustices. And, you know, I mean, this is what I was trained to do. Is to stand and to stand on the issues that are important to the lives of so many people.
Now, once you are elected by write-in, what are some of the changes you plan to bring about in the South Suburbs, especially the South Suburbs? I know you do a lot out in the South Suburban area, even though you are Chicagoland area-wide. But in the South Suburbs, it seems like the people have relocated in the South Suburbs and think they have arrived, but they fail to realize they've moved out here, but their behavior and the problems and the poverty and the economics that they left wherever they came from, it's following with them. You know, we still have a large ex-offender list out here, a population of ex-offenders. We have unemployment is still on the rise here, and people are being relocated from the city of Chicago to the South Suburbs. And I know there's a lot of drama in the South Suburbs, flooding in Robbins, water issues in Ford Heights, and now even water issues in University Park. And I think the 2nd Congressional District covers part of University Park, just the tip part of it. So what are some of the changes when you hear what I'm saying, when you are elected, that we can count on under your leadership?
Well, number one is the creation of jobs. I plan on being proactive. The federal government cannot create all the jobs. It's going to take a team to be able to develop jobs. Peatone example can be the model for it could become the green job capital of the world simply because of the massive land space. As you know, Ms. Forte, every product now is required to be environmental friendly. And so that can become the Silicon Valley for green jobs in Peatone. Number two, I think entrepreneurship is going to be very important. I want to put especially great emphasis on that because a lot of people just want the opportunities to be able to be have the access to capital to be able to go in businesses, you know, for themselves. Light manufacturing, call centers, and tech centers can be put in place in the Southland area. Number two, continuing a strong support for public education. I have a problem with charter schools. I'm pro public education. That is a constitutional right. Number three, I plan on passing legislation once I'm elected to protect public pensions and private pensions because our pension systems are under attack. Pensions are sacred and should not be tampered with. Number four, very concerned with what just recently happened on the East Coast with Hurricane Sandy and, of course, Katrina. We need to have disaster relief shelters in place in all of our congressional districts. That's very, very important. So I plan on being very proactive, working with the citizens, being a voice from the citizens, with the citizens, and working in collaboration to make our district healthy, which it has not had that opportunity to be for quite a while.
And what about the violence? You know, I know we can't police everything, but the violence in our communities is just, I mean, more people are being killed here in our Chicagoland area, in fact, nationwide, but in our second congressional district, we seem to have a very high violence rate.
Well, on the corner of 79th and Essex this past summer, early August, nine young people were shot on that corner. They call it Murderers Row. That's in the 7th Ward in the second Congressional District. Violence is pandemic in the 2nd Congressional District. One of the ways how you address this issue of violence is through a series of engagement. Mm-hmm. First of all, putting people to work. The major construction that's going on, particularly in the black community, is in the 2nd Congressional District. A lot of major construction projects with federal dollars. Once I'm elected, these construction projects will be brought to a halt if they are not in compliance with the federal laws that state that residents should be working and training, et cetera. So that's key because when people are working, violence subsides. Number two, pushing for stronger legislation to prosecute the straw buyers who buy the legal guns and turn them over to those who have criminal tendencies. The straw buyers become the number one issue as it relates to the illegal handguns. The illegal handguns that's flowing in our community must be cracked down on. Number three, a lot of people might not like this, but there needs to be psychologicals for those who want to purchase guns. Now, in doing these psychologicals, there should not be discrimination based on one's racial profiling. But the fact is, as a Lutheran pastor, I had to take a psychological. And I think if you put that issue out there, I think a lot of these handguns won't get in the hands of those who are mentally unstable. I mean, we got to change the culture of violence. If we can put a ban on smoking, then we can put a ban on violence. So it might be kind of a Madison Avenue approach, but we have got to change the culture of violence in our nation because violence is pandemic in American society.
And you know what, Reverend, I'm glad you mentioned it because I was looking at the budget that Tony Furtwinkle has planned, where he's increasing the taxes, a dollar increase on cigarettes, but 5 cents on each bullet. I have a problem with that. They both kill. Don't get me wrong. Tobacco will kill you. Bullets kill, too. But if we're going to tax something, I would like to see a higher tax on a bullet than a tax on a cigarette. You know, we're charging. There's something wrong with that. When I heard that, I said, okay, 5 cents tax on each bullet, but a dollar on a pack of cigarettes. So it's just something not fair or understandable to me. But I do want to commend you on, you had spoken about when you were elected, the jobs that you would create. And even before being elected, being the person you are in and around the Chicagoland area, you have created jobs for people, over 300 jobs. In fact, you weren't even an elected official. You're just a person, a pastor, with an interest and a concern of helping. And that's one thing that so many of these elected officials and people who are running on what they're going to do when they get elected. But here you have already done so much, and you have not been elected. And, you know, I don't want to say it's your calling because you're a pastor. I think it's your calling because you care. You care for people. And so, I mean, that's a plus right there. Being able to help people obtain employment for over 300 private citizens, so that's a plus. And not
well,
only
you know,
that. Go ahead, Reverend.
No. I think that if you're going to be in the arena of public servant, then, you know, you've got to become, Dr. King used to talk about being dangerously unselfish.
Yeah,
You know, and I mean my passion, first of all, my love for Christ and my love for people supersedes my own personal ambitions. I'm not running for Congress, having done this 6 times, to prove anything. I'm not anybody's kamikaze pilot. But the thing is that I feel that I can do a better job than the current congressman we have and many of our elected officials, because, I mean, as a private citizen, you know, I'm helping to put people to work, and I'm dealing with some of the critical issues. Perfect examples, there's a piece of legislation in the State House right now that Will Davis set forth to protect high school athletes who get injured on the playing field, whether it's a pom-pom girl or a cheerleader, because of a young man named Rocky Clark. His insurance capped out, and we had to provide catastrophic insurance coverage for all persons that participate in sports. And because of our involvement with Rocky, this law, we're looking forward to come into full effect soon. I mean, a case in point, in Robbins, where some members of my church were violated, their pensions were tampered with. When I got involved, we discovered what had happened. But at the same time, 40,000 other people's pensions had been tampered with. And we exposed that. So, I mean, those are just many of the things that I've been very fortunate to participate in. But, I mean, if you're a citizen, I just believe in being a citizen, is that citizens need to realize that they need to be proactive and be involved, and that this is your government and this is your country. But at the same time, I'm also very supportive of H.R. 40 that I want to see happen in my lifetime, that being reparations. Reparations would be a key vehicle as it relates also to stimulating the economy, but particularly giving the compensation that's so rightfully due, particularly to black people in the country.
Well, Reverend, I want to go back to the help that you helped your church members on with their pension, that situation, because I know of some people, too, and for those that are listening, Reverend is speaking of people who were given these red light tickets, and the tickets weren't paid in a timely manner. Then they went and got the money out of people's pensions.
That is just unlawful
as far as I'm concerned.
No, that is a violation. You cannot tamper with anyone's pensions unless the person is involved in some type of criminal activity, major investigation. So, you know, you just can't go into a person's pension. In states like Alabama, Arizona, California, the pension systems are broken. And so one of the things I want to do is see stronger legislation from the state and federal level to protect people's pensions. I think particularly middle class, the middle class teachers, firemen, educators, they've worked, civil servants have worked for their pensions. And the time comes when you want to draw your pension money is not there. So pensions need to be protected. And I hope a lot of people really hear how serious this issue is, because if we're not careful, you know, I will hopefully have a modest pension one day. When the time comes where I can draw my pension, I would like for the money to be there.
Well, you know what, Ed, another issue I want people to understand as we move in this millennium to the high technology, so many things are being pushed to the side. We're talking about we don't have to do our research papers using encyclopedias anymore because we have computers. We don't have to go to the library to check out a book because we can read the book online. But libraries are very important. I'm the president of the library district here in the South Suburbs. In fact, that's the write-in position that I won in 1996 as the president of the library district. But I know white society is trying to close down the libraries, and when they close down the library, it affects the African-Americans, the black and the browns especially. That we fought so hard to learn how to read, and now they're trying to take the libraries away. But I just want the people to know that you helped secure funding to keep the William Leonard Library open in Robbins.
That is correct. About 3 years ago, the library was in the process of closing, and the library director contacted me. And because of the efforts of our congregation, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Robbins, and the people of Robbins and the public at large, we raised $74,000 in less than 4 months. And then basketball superstar Dwayne Wade, who's from Robbins, he contributed $25,000. So we were able to keep the library open, and we've continued to keep the library open because of the fact that we brought this issue to the public's eye. You only have one library in Robbins, and I think those of us who profess to be in leadership would have looked pretty asinine had that library closed.
Right. So, I mean, it's so much that you are doing for the people. And like I said, you're a public servant. You're not perfect, but you're a public servant. So tell our viewing audience, our listening audience, how can they help you, and tell them the procedure of how to go about doing a write-in, because with the early voting, they're on a machine. So tell them what they need to do in order to write you in.
When people go to their various polling places, our early voting up to Saturday, when you go down the line from president to senator, when you get to, you live in the 2nd Congressional District, you will see 2nd Congressional District, you will see the incumbent's name, you will see two other candidate's name, but you will see there's also a blank space on there. You can by way of touchscreen, you can write in my name, Anthony W. Williams. And once you do that by way of touchscreen, you push down on the button, and that button will process my name towards a vote. So it's not a complex process. You do it by way of touch screen. If you have any problem, all you have to do is tell the judge. Now, on the actual day of election, it is written law that all write-in candidates' names are posted in the various polling places and given to the voters. So that will be a very that'll be a good plus for us. Thus far, I've been working all the polling places for early voting, been getting a wonderful reception, And so, you know, I'm just asking the listening audience to look at my website, vote, V-O-T-E, voteanthonywwilliams.com, and see the body of work and make an intelligent decision because, as I say, the seat belongs to the people. And
yeah.
If you consider me, if you're still going to vote early and you have this Saturday and you're going to vote on November the 6th, you just go to the polling place, you get the U.S. Congress, you just, by way of touch screen, you just write in Anthony W. Williams. You can't write in Reverend or Rev. You write in Anthony W. Williams. And it's very simple process. It's not complex. And a person doesn't have to be afraid. There's no paper ballots. It's all by touch screen.
So make sure you guys understand Anthony W. Williams. Do not put Reverend or Rev. Put Anthony W. Williams when you go to the early voting on the touch screen. And I love the website, and I'm going to read from your wife's writing again. Anthony does not have all the answers, but he will seek our district's individual and collective voices because he knows our council is as important as each of us. So he understands even more of what his availability means to those who reach out to him. So those who are listening, how can they get in touch with you? We've got the website.
I'm a people person, and people can call me at area code 708-439-1628. That's area code 708-439-1628. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your children, tell everybody in the 2nd Congressional District that the seat of the U.S. 2nd Congressional District is the people's seat. And the people have the right to choose who they want to elect them. I can live with the results, but at the same time, I encourage the citizens to be intelligent because outside of the presidential election, this is one of the second most important races at the federal level, and the world is watching in terms of what the citizens of the 2nd Congressional District will do. Thus far, the citizens have shown me great intelligence and understanding the write-in process, the issues. They're concerned about the bread and butter issues, and they want somebody to be a voice and represent them in a respectable and intelligent manner.
And, Reverend, I want to extend my spot, my radio, open to you up into the election. If you'd like to come back on, I invite you back because it's very important that we get the issues. I mean, we don't have a radio station that gives our listeners an opportunity. We have, seriously, there are 21 people on this radio station that are holding listening to you. And we have so much yet to cover. We have the Piatone Airport. We have the federal prison that was just purchased. We need to talk about that, what it means to our people, especially African Americans. And so we have so much. So I want to thank you. As you can hear, our music is playing, and we have run out of time. You have been listening to Maureen Forte of In the Know with Mo with my special guest, Anthony W. Williams, for Congress. So he is a write-in candidate. So when you vote early, when you go on that screen, in the box, write in Anthony W. Williams. Do not write in Reverend or Rev. But Anthony W. Williams. I want to thank you, Anthony W. Williams, also known as Rev. Reverend Anthony Williams, I want to thank you for being on In the Know with Mo.
Thank you so much, Ms. Forte, and God bless you and the listening audience.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause he